The views and opinions expressed on this show are those of the sponsor, Olive Branch Pet Hospital, and Play and Stay Boarding and Daycare.
News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Good morning. This is Pep Talk, Pensacola's expert panel with Meg. And I had to laugh when I heard that music. My request from our host this morning for this half hour, that Dr. Mark Sprayberry with Olive Branch Pet Hospital, Play and Stay Care Center there that we have. Okay, so I got to understand, what is the meaning of this song to you? The Hawaii, if you don't remember, Hawaii 5-0 theme.
Well, I just grew up with it. Good morning, everyone. I grew up with it, and of course, they reinvented it later, you know, with a little bit more modern version, but I don't know, I just like the music of it. It kind of gets you going, you know. It's for all of us older guys out there, you know, and all you folks out there.
I love it.
But that was it.
Yeah. Well, this is a special show because this is Sit, Stay, and Listen with Dr. Mark. We have a title for this show, and we're going to stick with it.
Yep.
What do you want to talk about today, Dr. Mark? There's so much going on, and I saw a tribute that was quite beautiful on Facebook.
Yeah, it was to a very... You know, I may get choked up a little bit on this, but it was a very good, wonderful patient of mine named Loki Sanders. His mom and his grandmother are very close friends of mine. And he was a big-time visitor at the Play and Stay. We have a daycare there. And he kind of was king, and everybody saw him coming because he was 212 pounds of bull mastiff.
Wow.
Yeah, so he was a big personality and big in size, too. And but unfortunately, Loki got an unusual form of lymphoma, and we started him on some chemo, and he responded very well for a couple of months. And then, unfortunately, he came out of remission, and I was unable to get him back in. So he was a wonderful dog, just one of my favorite patients of all time, you know.
Yeah.
And, you know, sometimes he passed away on his own.
Mm-hmm.
I did not have to euthanize him. It's a sad time for all of us.
Of course. But how old was he?
He was 7.
Oh.
Which is older, you know.
For a mastiff.
For a 200-pound mastiff. You know, 7-8 is their lifespan.
Wow, no kidding.
But he meant a lot to all of us, and especially the ladies at Play and Stay and the daycare. You know, we're not just a boarding facility.
Mm-hmm.
My staff back there watch these pets. They look for issues because they know them so well.
Right.
And they love going there. These dogs, people will pull up and they'll just hop out of the car and run in. And then when they come back to get the dog at the end of the day, they don't want to go home.
That's not a good sign. I mean, it's great, but for the owner, not so much.
You know, it's my own pets included. So, you know, I try not to take offense. You know, they love my ladies at the Play and Stay more than me in the daycare.
And that's unusual because most of the dogs I've had over the years, as soon as you get within a mile of a vet, they know and they start shaking. Yeah. Their intuitive sense kicks in. They're like, no.
Well, you know, with Loki, he started having some problems walking in his back legs and then brought it to my attention. And we looked at him. We did some treatment thinking, you know, it was his weight, you know, because sometimes people have swelling in their feet. You know, if you're overweight or if you're having some heart disease and that, we kind of ruled that out. And then all of a sudden, lymph nodes under his chin got big, and I biopsied those, and it came back a large cell aggressive lymphoma. So what was great about the ladies back there is they first noticed it.
Mm-hmm.
So we had the best chance of getting a hold of it early on. And they're very good about pets that have arthritis or they're not eating, you know, they're shaking their head. So we see a lot of stuff in the clinic up front. The office for these little things, we just go ahead and take care of it with the owner's permission, of course. Not everybody that comes to the Play and Stay is my client,
right?
So we always touch base and and do. But the plan stay is more than just a boarding facility. We I'm there on staff.
Well, my understanding is that you have check in and check on them and that kind of thing. So it's not like something that's just a side business for you.
No, it's on the same property, and I'm mm-hmm. the only vet in town with this type facility who is actually on property. Mm-hmm. Now, some of my colleagues own other boarding facilities, but it's not where their clinic is.
Right.
And so you rely on a staff to see. Now, sometimes my staff will come over and say, hey, Doc, I've got this spot on this dog. I don't know what should I do. I said, well, why don't you just run it over real quick and let me have a peek at it.
Mm-hmm. So, which is great.
Yeah.
Because we have those eyes on all the time. And if they're coming on a regular basis, then they have a chance to see any abnormal behavior or something, suddenly right. limping, like you said, or the back legs aren't working quite right.
Yeah,
those
correct.
Are all signs.
Yeah, correct. And it's best to treat, you know, catch things early.
Mm-hmm.
And one thing I'd like to talk about today, too, and it's a little bit of a somber thing, but my last three cases yesterday were, two of the three were cancer, and it was euthanasias. And one of them we knew was going to happen. The other one we didn't. It was a dog that had bone cancer that had come in for a tumor on its chest they wanted me to remove. But the dog was limping.
Mm-hmm.
When I looked at the leg and x-rayed it, it was a bone tumor, and it actually had fractured the ankle.
Oh, gosh.
So it's called a pathologic fracture.
Mm-hmm.
So that is the worst. The dog was 12. It was a husky-related cross.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, with that type case, you know, if he was six, I would amputate his leg at the knee and possible some chemo, and that dog would go on to live a normal life. But at 12...
Mm-hmm.
You know, I did check the chest for Mets. I didn't see anything, but he's a 100-pound dog. I
mean, right.
And you can't amputate that.
Right.
You know, at
right.
12. So sad there. The other one had a large tumor on the back of his back. The third case was a little dog, about a 14, 15-year-old Yorkie, tiny, been losing weight for a long, long time. And I'd done bladder surgery for kidney stones.
Mm-hmm.
And this one, he came back in. He just wasn't doing good. He was boarding. They brought him over.
Mm-hmm.
We x-rayed him. He had 25 stones in his bladder again.
Gosh.
And she had been feeding the correct food and doing everything correct.
Right,
to
right.
retard the stones. But these were calcium oxalate, and those are very difficult to control.
Mm.
So that dog, you know, and the dog was suffering. So,
yeah, probably in a lot of pain, I would imagine.
Yeah, it's had trouble urinating. It wasn't defecating because the colon yeah. was being compressed by
yeah.
the thing. So it's the type thing that when it comes time, there's three things I want people to think about, okay? And they can always call the office and come see me or call me and just ask a question, you know, all my listeners and things. But three things, folks. There's a little bit more than that. Now, I'm ADHD, as everybody knows on this show.
Mm-hmm.
And so, but I work with a wonderful veterinarian named Dr. Stephanie Kairos. Now, Stephanie cannot, she boils it down to three things.
Right.
I got five or six, but okay. I'm going to do the three.
Okay.
Quality of life, eating and drinking, peeing and pooping, and moving around.
Mm-hmm.
Can I say peeing and pooping on radio?
Absolutely.
Okay, good. Okay. So, guys, if one of those things is affected, then you got to start questioning quality of life. I mean, if you can't pee or poop, guys, I mean, there's something probably seriously wrong with you.
Or eat.
Eat. Oh, absolutely. And moving around. You know, the pets that can't get up to go out, so they just lay there. And a lot of people say, well, you know, I just can't make the decision.
Mm.
You know, and I get it. And that's where your veterinarian can come in and help. I mean, we want to save everything, save everybody. But sometimes it's not possible.
Right.
Like these three cases yesterday I had. So those three things. Now, a couple other little things just coming from ADHD here is if your pet usually comes to the door when you come home from work or shopping or whatever. When the kids are home from college or you got a bunch of, you know, your kids' buddies are over playing and the dog's usually in the middle of the chaos, barking, having fun. Now, they don't come to the door. They're just laying over in the corner, have no idea what's going on, or don't even care.
Mm-hmm.
That is a serious behavioral.
That's a sign.
That's a real big sign because,
yeah.
you know, dogs want to be with us all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Now, cats are a little different in their behavior. You know, they're from another planet, Meg.
Yeah. you notice I got very quiet. I'm not
yes.
saying a word.
Uh-huh. They are from
They don't typically greet you at the door. Sometimes.
They are, as Dr. Susan Little of Kind of Small, and I've mentioned before, she's kind of famous in my world and cats. Yeah, listen, folks, you know, cats are from another planet. I'm one short away from being the crazy cat lady. I think she has four or five.
But, well, I have friends that have like 10.
I know. It. Well, you know, they're wonderful creatures, and they heal the best of any creature I treat.
Mm-hmm.
But they have behavioral problems. Say they're indoor only.
Right.
And now they start wanting to go out. And that's mm-hmm. what happened with my wife's cat.
Mm-hmm.
And she had lymphoma. So that's three or four things you need to think about. And one other thing, and then I'll shut up. Don't keep them alive because you're being selfish.
Mm.
Please don't do that.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen that throughout my 30-year career. And, you know, dogs have come in with bed sores. They're emaciated. They've lost, you know, 30% of their body weight. There's no sparkle in their eye anymore.
Mm-hmm.
That's just being selfish.
Yeah.
And ultimately, you have to do what's best for your pet. You know, your pet's given you unconditional love all these years. He's been there when nobody else liked you. Your
right.
pet liked you when nobody else likes you.
Right.
And so when it comes down to that, you really need to make the right decision. And your veterinarian can help. That's mm-hmm. you know, something we're trained to do, and give you options and stuff. So
yeah, and that's it's a tough subject. So if anybody has some questions, maybe they want to call in or text in at 850-437-1620. This is the show officially now, Sit, Stay, and
Listen
to Dr. Mark Spayberry with Olive Branch Pet Hospital. And, you know, I had a similar, when my dog was about 14 or 15, I wish I had seen the signs sooner. I don't think there was anything I could do anything about, but his behavior started to change. Like you said, he used to jump up on the bed at night to go to sleep, started sleeping in the corner. You know, just little subtle things that I realized. And once I got him to the vet, I went in just thinking it was going to be a regular checkup, and it turned out that he did have cancer. And at that point, when I came back from work that night to pick them up, then the vet looked at me and, "You have a choice." And she said, "You have a choice. Do you want your dog to continue to suffer? Because right now he's suffering and he can't tell you." And that broke my heart, because I knew from his behavior, I had seen the signs. There was all the things you talked about were happening, and I was in denial. I just didn't want to believe it. And when she put it that way, I said, okay. And we had to we euthanized him then. But I'm glad I did, even though I still miss him terribly. But he was 14, 15 years old.
Yeah.
So it wasn't like...
That's getting old, you know.
Yeah, I want him to live 100 years. Outlive me, right?
Yeah, we all do. And unfortunately, it's one of those things where they have a higher metabolic rate. That's why they don't live as long as we do,
mm-hmm.
you know, and... It's unfortunate, but that's
right. But I appreciate you talking about some of those early signs, because the behavior thing. So when you're in that situation, when do you need to get them to your vet?
Well, if that's a very good question, every vet in this world, one of the first questions is going to be, are they eating?
Mm-hmm.
Because their primitive drive as an animal is to eat. If they're not eating, there's something maybe wrong.
I have a question about that. So I was telling Ann. Good morning, Ann. She's here with us too. So I literally have a friend last night. I was on the phone with, who was talking about their dog, and they said that the dog stopped eating. So the vet gave them an appetite
stimulant.
Mm-hmm. And I thought, well, that's kind of, the dog's 15 years old. That's kind of, and so she goes, so now he's eating and gaining weight. And I thought,
well, you know, blood work and X-rays tell you a lot. It doesn't tell you everything. It tells you a lot. Appetite stimulants help. If it doesn't help, that doesn't mean they're not savable, but I'll tell you, that's a good sign something's really wrong, and you've got to get in there and check on things. Now, I try to be reasonable with my clients. I don't want to spend a gazillion dollars.
Well, sure, because cancer treatment's expensive, and there's really not a lot of pet insurance out there to help you, so.
But I don't want to spend a gazillion dollars on a pet that I have done two or three tests, and I am pretty doggone sure this is not a fixable problem, even with chemo. Now, you know, my office does a lot of cancer work, and we save a lot of them, and we do well with it. However, some cases are not fixable, like the bone cancer yesterday with a pathologic fracture.
Mm-hmm.
You know, at 12, that's not fixable.
Right, right.
You know, that dog's not going to do well on three legs, and he was overweight.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the owners were elderly.
Well, to me, it was the suffering question.
Yeah,
that was the final, that was the thing that made my decision.
Mm-hmm. Palliative care is, some people a lot of times they'll come in and we've diagnosed something as they're blindsided, mm-hmm. you know, and they have the big tumor in their abdomen or something.
Right.
And they're just not ready. And I said, well, let's do some palliative care for the next few days. And you got to get your heart right about this thing. Mm-hmm. And then they'll come back a few days later, a week or so later, depending on what it is. And then they're ready to go.
Right, right. That makes perfect sense. Talking with Sit, Stay, and Listen with Dr. Mark. So if you do have a question about this topic, or really any topic that has to do with your pets, 850-437-1620. So you do have the play and stay, which is the boarding and daycare. And we haven't talked about that as much on the show. So that's one of those things. Talk a little bit about that and how that works. If someone's working now, they've got a new job, and they're thinking, oh, boy, I don't want to have to rush home at lunchtime, take my dog out, or... Talk about some of the things that your team does to take care of them.
Well, the play and stay is the boarding side, and then there's a separate building for daycare, which has huge, huge play areas, mm-hmm. huge. And there's exercise equipment. I had a buddy of mine that's real good at this kind of thing, build tabletops and ramps and all this
cool.
kind of thing. So, you know, my dogs go back there. Yes, and when I say this, it's a psych ward back there, you know, as you can imagine, the way it, you know, and dogs that go back there need to keep their, you know, busy hands, you know, devil's workshop.
Right.
Busy paws, devil's workshop. Yeah. And so they go back there to, we play with them, we run them. We have an indoor play area if it's raining or hot like it is.
Right.
And we wear them out.
Right.
So when they go home, they eat their dinner and go to bed. So that's kind of one of the things. With the boarding facility, we board anybody's pets. A lot of my colleagues refer to us that do not do boarding in their office. And we keep them, you know, we have two presidential suites if you want a private room for them.
Presidential suite?
Yeah.
Okay, you got to tell me about that. I'm sorry, but.
Well, it's, you know, this building was previously an office.
Right.
And so I converted it. And it's about half the size of this sound booth,
mm-hmm.
Each one. And so pets that are. Maybe, and we tend to take pets nobody else will if they tend to be a little personality disorders or
rambunctious.
Little, yeah, or that, or a little, you know, tend to be a little grumbly, that kind of thing.
Okay.
You know, there's no bad dogs.
High
in the
maintenance,
world.
We call those,
correct.
Right?
There's
right,
no
right.
bad dogs in the world, you know, but I mean, they're the ones that deserve to go to heaven more than any other creature on the earth, you know.
True.
Yeah, so, but. We have that, and then we have a medium dog area. There's no cages or anything like mm-hmm. that. They all have their own little rooms. Then we have a large dog, and then there's a deck out back they play on, and then there's this huge, like almost acre that they run
nice.
And play. So we do a lot of exercise. We really have to focus.
Okay, so we've got some calls coming in text, so let's see if we can get to some of those. Earl's on the line right now. Good morning, Earl. What's your question for Dr. Mark?
So my five-year-old... nephew, let's say, it wants a dog. And his mother is not so sure. What breed would you suggest would be appropriate for to grow up with a kid that is now five?
Earl, that's an excellent question. What I really like is, and who I recommend, now there's wonderful dogs, but dogs are match differently with different people, their lifestyles and all that. But the dogs I really like in this situation are golden retrievers or golden doodles, which is a golden retriever crossed with a standard poodle, or labs. They're great dogs. They can, you know, you got little nephews or they can play ball with them. If you got little nieces, they can dress them up in Barbie stuff and all that, and they're just wonderful temperaments, okay? And they're easily trained, too. So, now, one thing I will say about them, I tell parents, make sure you keep all the socks and the undies and all that off the floor, because that is the one, number one dog I have to take stuff out of their intestinal tracts. Yeah.
So true.
Yeah, so it's, I tell these ladies come in my offices, and, you know, I was married for 36 years, you know, and God rest my wife's soul, but I'd come home at night and my wife was a therapist. She says, okay, what'd you do today? I said, well, I found out what kind of undies this lady wears today.
You know, my goodness. Oh, that's too funny.
But that's the dog I like. They're easily trained.
Gentle
spirits all their life. And as they grow up, or if you have grandchildren that come over, they're great with grandkids. You know, I don't tend to recommend ones that have a history in their heritage of being something like a guard dog or protection or anything like mm-hmm. that. Now, there's certainly wonderful, wonderful dogs that are like that. However, I tend to go more with ones that are easygoing and have a history of being gentle.
Well, I hope that helps you, Earl. Great question. Thanks for calling in
Thank
and
you.
Listening to Pep Talk and to Sit, Stay, and Listen with Dr. Mark. And we do have another question that's come in on the text line, and I think this is a good one, too. What can I do about my dog that cannot handle thunderstorms?
Well, that's an excellent question.
That's like a whole nother show, isn't it?
Yeah. But, a couple things you can do. I had a dog like this, mm-hmm. and I've been to all these behavioral meetings. You know, you can always turn music on kind of loud. You can close the blinds if you have them so they don't see the flash of thunder and lightning and all that, especially at night. Turn the lights on in the house where the dog is. That helps some. There is something called an Adaptil plug-in, which is a pheromone. You can look it up. It's spelled A-D-A-P-T-I-L. And I use that quite a bit. It just helps calm them. Now, I'm not necessarily that much into vitamins and voodoo, as we say in the profession, but this really works. It was founded by a veterinarian in Paris I got to meet, and I usually start there.
It's a medication?
No, it's a plug-in, like a Glade air freshener.
Oh.
And it covers about 800 square feet.
Oh,
we have
okay.
We have them at the office.
Huh.
Be very wary about getting ones at pet stores that are, you know, this is from a, so what it is, guys, real quick, is this veterinarian had two dogs at his home, and they had behavioral problems when him and his wife would leave to go to work. And so their neighbors were getting upset, you know, with all the time. So this dog was chewing on his wife's dog. And so he said, okay, well, I got to do something about this. I'm going to get kicked out and all that. So his postulate was that when is the calmest a creature is? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And he thought, well, it's probably when they're nursing the mother, whether it be dog, cat, human, any animal.
Oh, wow.
So he isolated the pheromone from the breast of a lactating or nursing mother dog.
Huh.
And he kind of made it in like a Glade air freshener, you know,
wow.
kind of like that, plugged it in. And I use them at the office. I have used them in my home before because I have rescue shelties, my wife and I do. And so that's something you can do. Now, a lot of times I'll go with trazodone, which is a drug, or a Prozac, that kind of thing, depending on the situation. The other thing they make is something called Cilio. I think it's S-I-L-E-O. It's a medication you squirt in their gums. And that is a little bit more stronger of a sedative. I don't tend to use it too much, except mm-hmm. in the worst cases, especially when the dog is tearing themselves up, is tearing the house up, is hurting itself. That's where I kind of go with that.
Mm-hmm.
The drug is not to knock them out. It's just to bring it down a notch,
mm-hmm.
okay?
Do those jackets work, those sort of, what do they call them, thunder jackets or something like that?
I think it's, I don't think it hurts to try.
Mm-hmm.
I think I've had some cases where I think it did help. I tend to recommend them when I do surgery on their chest and stuff.
Right.
To kind of keep the incision, you know, mm-hmm. covered so
sure.
they can't chew on it.
Yeah.
I tend to use them more for that.
Uh-huh.
That's not my first choice.
Gotcha.
Usually I'll tend to go with the pheromone, the plug-in, the Adaptil plug-in. Mm-hmm. And then your veterinarian can prescribe a little trazodone, or Xanax is another one.
But make sure you're using the vet's prescription, not your own, correct?
Oh, yeah, correct.
You don't want to
yeah.
just sort of, oh, I'll try this.
No.
Because I've heard Benadryl, a lot of people use that. And that's I think you said that's not a good idea.
Well, I mean, it causes some drowsiness. And if that helps, then okay, you're not going to hurt them with it. The dose of Benadryl is 1 milligram per pound.
Okay.
So you got a 25-pound dog, it's a 25-milligram tablet.
Okay.
It helps in some cases, but for the most part, if it's a serious issue, you're going to have to get something from me and all my colleagues out
gotcha.
Here in Pensacola.
All right. We're talking with Dr. Mark, Sit, Stay, and Listen with Olive Branch Pet Hospital and also Play and Stay Boarding and Daycare. We're down to our last minute, sir. Anything you want to talk about for this last minute? We definitely want people to know how to get in touch with you for sure.
Well, the one thing, Meg, I want people to know that we have great veterinarians here in town.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm all colleagues. We have a great association. They can help you with these decisions. And these are big time decisions. You know, you have the lady who's come in, she's had the pet before she had the husband and the kids.
Oh gosh, yeah.
And now, you know, the lady's divorced, the kids are, you know, going nuts, and then you've got the dog, it's time for it to cross over the bridge, Rainbow Bridge. Those are very difficult questions, and veterinarians can help you make the decisions, okay? I'm on 4220 North Davis Highway, phone number 850-477-2901. Look forward to seeing you guys. Come see us. And got great boarding. If you're going out on vacation, bring them over.
Yeah, this is the time.
I'm
all
there.
Right.
Yeah, thanks so much.
Thanks so much.
God bless, guys.
We've been listening with Dr. Mark Sprayberry with Sip, Stay, and Listen, Olive Branch Pet Hospital, Play and Stay Boarding and Daycare.